Okay, we've got a sea of green here ahead of the FOMC tonight. We've got Bitcoin at 83,920. The bubbles are green ahead of the FOMC tonight. And let me tell you, there's a good reason why the bubbles are keen. I'm expecting quite a big announcement at the FOMC tonight. I'm going to break down for you what the announcement is, what it actually means, and why the markets are actually green. After that, I want to speak a little bit about MicroStrategy, because they did something yesterday which I'm pretty shocked about. They launched this new thing called Strife. Now, for those of you who haven't been following, Strife is a share in MicroStrategy with a preferred, it's a preferred share with a preferred dividend. And this commits MicroStrategy to paying $50 million a year in dividends. Now, I want to know where MicroStrategy is going to get the $50 million from. They're not getting it from the software business, and they're not planning on selling Bitcoin. Where will the $50 million come from? We've got to talk about what MicroStrategy is doing, because they represent 28% of all the flow into Bitcoin last year. And I think that this feels a little bit desperate. So we've got to discuss that. So today is all about FOMC and why the markets are green. And also we're going to talk about MicroStrategy and what this new Strife offering actually means. If that sounds good to you, but only if that sounds good to you, then what I need to do is subscribe to the channel. I want you to obliterate the like button. I'm going to get the alpha on the road. We are actually going to talk about XRP as well. I see a lot of you in the bubbles in the chat today talking about XRP. We are going to talk about XRP, and the SEC dropped the case against XRP. So I guess we do have to talk about that today. Otherwise, sea of green ahead of the FOMC meeting. I do believe it's going to be a bigger FOMC meeting. I didn't think it was going to be. In fact, I actually wasn't even going to do a show. Like at one point I was like, do I do a show now, or do I just actually do, hold on, let's just do the FOMC. And then when there was a certain news article that came out, and when I saw the news article, I reckon, hold on a second, this is going to be a very big FOMC. I'm going to show you exactly why. Welcome Ariwa, welcome Nick Gasson, welcome Zaka Crypto, welcome Julie. Thanks XRP to the fucking moon. Maybe to the moon. Going to take over for a while. Going to take a while to recover. What about EOS? Yeah, I haven't spoken about EOS. Truth is, I haven't spoken about EOS because I have no idea what's going on. Zero idea. Hyperliquid, I see up a little bit today, $15.10. I see Curve back at 47 cents. Let's see what else is moving today. Lido, okay, Lido's been absolutely obliterated. Fightcoin up, Radium up because it's launching a pump.fund competitor. There's a whole lot of others that are up. Let's quickly see the stock market. Is the stock market open? Yeah, the stock market's open. Shopify up 5.42%. Tesla up 2.73%. Nvidia up 1.6% after the Nvidia conference. So lots going on. We're going to discuss crypto. We're going to discuss stocks. We're going to discuss FOMC meeting. We're going to discuss everything right here. So if that sounds good to you, obliterate the like button. I'm bringing you crypto love and crypto wisdom where most others have already left the scene. It's very hard to find crypto content these days. Here I am, bring you crypto love and crypto content consistently. Anyway, let's talk about why the markets are actually running, because there is a good run on the markets. As you can see, Bitcoin 84,000. It is because of the FOMC meeting. We do know for sure that probably interest rates aren't going to come down. We know that that's the case. 99% chance that interest rates aren't going to come down. We also know that we've had some good economic data. Inflation is on the decline after 4 increasing readings. Inflation is actually starting to go down. And if inflation is starting to go down, we can expect a lot of things to happen at the FOMC meeting today. Let's look at all the things that we can expect at the meeting today. So number one, rate decision. No rate cut is coming. I think we all agree on that. Then there is a discussion around the dot plot. Remember, today is a quarterly FOMC. Every quarterly FOMC, they do the dot plot. Now, the dot plot, as I explained to you, is where all the Fed officials place a dot on where they think interest rates are going to be at the end of 2025, 2026, and 2027, right? And last time, they only forecast one rate cut. Now, what we want to see there is we want to see the incremental. Did they go from one rate cut to two rate cuts? If that happens, that's going to be huge. We are going to be live. We're going to be bringing this all to you tonight. Then we're going to be talking about Powell's tone, bullish, dovish. Is he going to be talking about tariffs and the effect of tariffs? Is he going to be talking about peace in Ukraine? All of these things we're going to be listening to with bated breath. We're going to be here. We're going to be trading. Dylan's coming to trade with me. Maybe Sheldon will also come trade with me. All right. The big news, the thing that we're most looking at today is actually around the end of QT. And there was an article that was published today by Nick Timarios. Now, this guy, for those of you who don't know, they call him the Fed Whisperer. The reason why they call him the Fed Whisperer is because he knows what's going on inside the Fed. He's like the unofficial insider that leaks information. Now, the reason why they do this, unofficially, of course, is because they don't want shocks to the market, right? So what they do is they communicate their message using Nick Timiraos. Okay, you'll see him tonight. I'll introduce you to him tonight when he asks the question. You'll see exactly who this guy is. He published this article. He said, the Fed slowed down QT last year in order to let that process run for longer. Officials are now considering another tweak due to the implications of the debt limit that would likewise that likewise could avoid the inadvertent disruptions to allow the process to continue. What he's insinuating is that some announcement is going to be made around QT. For those of you that don't know what QT is, QT is quantitative tightening. What that means is when the Fed sells assets that it holds on its balance sheet, it sells the assets into the market and it takes the money. And then basically what happens is it takes the money out of circulation. That is called quantitative tightening. The opposite of quantitative tightening is quantitative easing. That is the process where the Fed buys assets off the market, puts them on their balance sheet, and by buying assets, puts more cash into circulation, right? And we have been tightening for a while. And in order for markets to really, really run, we've been saying that you need quantitative easing, right? Now, we have been hoping that the Fed is going to end quantitative tightening. Because the process of ending quantitative tightening or beginning quantitative easing usually goes in three parts. One, you end quantitative tightening. Then there is a lull and a period where you do nothing, see how the markets respond, and then you go into quantitative easing. So very, very, very rarely in history has the Fed actually gone from quantitative tightening to quantitative easing. The only times they would do something like that is in a COVID-style situation or something like that. Now, today, we are looking towards some kind of announcement on quantitative tightening. The reason why we know is because Nick actually came out and said something's going to happen. But what's going to happen and why is it going to happen? That is the important part. And you need to truly, truly, truly understand and listen up very, very carefully here. So we know that the US has hit its debt ceiling, right? We know that the US cannot take on any more debt, right? In order for that to happen, the Democrats and the Republicans need to agree to raise the debt ceiling. And right now, they haven't been able to raise the debt ceiling. And so in order to fund government spending, the government is using the Treasury General Account. Now, we've spoken about this historically, and we showed you when this account was at about $828 billion that the government would need to start spending this money for any spend that the government needs to have because they cannot touch this account. So imagine that you've got two bank accounts. One that your wife knows about, one that your wife doesn't know about. This is the one your wife knows about, right? She's maxed the national debt. She's maxed your debt. That means that she can't use any more money from this account, right? But you've got this secret account. And this secret account had $800 billion in it. And now, because you can't spend from this credit card anymore, you're now going to start spending from this credit card over here. And so you can see that this debt is being reduced, okay? So where is the big news here? Well, the problem is that the Treasury is now depleting the TGA account. In other words, it is now depleting its only bank account that it has left. This bank account is maxed, and this bank account now is being depleted, right? At the same time, the Fed is taking money out of the economy using quantitative tightening, right? So I mentioned to you that quantitative tightening is the process where the Fed takes money out of the economy by selling its assets into the economy. Now, here's the catch. At some point, this Treasury General Account is going to run out, right? And when this Treasury General Account runs out, goes to zero, the government is going to need to replenish the money in this account, because you can't have the Treasury General Account running to zero. You can see any time in the past that's happened, what they've done is they've quickly had to fill it up. Like in this case, they ran out of money at the end of December and they had it pretty much full again by February 2023, right? And so every time that the Treasury account gets depleted, what they need to do is they need to fill up the account again. How do they fill up the account? By taking money out of the economy. So here's where it gets interesting. Right now, the Fed realizes that there's a problem with the US debt ceiling, that they've hit the US debt ceiling and they cannot continue to spend any more on this US debt ceiling. And the Fed is watching the depletion of the Treasury General Account. And what they're saying is, hold on a second. If we're taking money out of the market, and very soon this Treasury General Account is going to have to refill itself, when it does refill itself, it is going to deliver a death blow to markets. So how do we limit the blow when the Treasury General Account gets to zero and needs to refill itself? Well, we leave some money in the economy right now. How do we leave some money in the economy right now? What we do, we stop taking money out of the economy. And so it stands to reason that tonight we may hear an announcement from the Fed that says that quantitative tightening may be stopping. Now, the reason why it's stopping is the wrong reason. We wanted quantitative tightening to stop because we wanted Powell to want to stimulate the economy. That's not why he's doing it. He's doing it, if he does it, because what he's worried about is that if this runs out and they need to replenish the Treasury General Account, there needs to be money in the economy to be able to replenish this account. And so the Fed is looking forward 2 or 3 months to when this debt ceiling is actually negotiated by the government, which should be somewhere around August. And they're saying, let's just make sure we leave some money in the economy so when the Treasury needs to refill its account, it doesn't cripple the economy. Now, this all came from an article in the Wall Street Journal. The article is by this Nick Tomaros. Let's just talk about, so he says here, for the past 3 years, the Fed has been shrinking the portfolios of the Treasury's mortgage-backed securities that had accumulated during the stimulus campaigns. Remember, when there was stimulus, they were just buying everything to put money in the economy. Now it could opt to pause that runoff or slow it down. So pause or slow it down. So why is that actually happening? As I said to you, you can see over here. Anyway, it's exactly what I said to you. Pausing the runoff would be a tactical decision that doesn't change the end goal of reducing the reserves, the balance sheet. So it's a temporary thing. The pause would offer officials an easy way to avoid inadvertently ending up in a situation where they drain too many reserves from the banking system too quickly, an interest rate strategist said at RBC Market. So right now, that is what's happening. Notice that they're calling it a pause and not a stop. And notice that our inside man in the markets is this Nick Tomaros. And he's basically saying, look, they're not stopping. He says, due to the implications of a debt limit situations, he's saying that they would process, he's saying, the Fed slow down QT in order to process longer. Officials are considering another tweak that likewise could avoid inadvertent disruptions to allow the process to continue on its own terms. So therefore, I think today may be a big FOMC. I'm not expecting a rate cut, but I am expecting some announcement around quantitative tightening. Now, I think we've caught this news pretty early, although the markets have started running a little bit. I do think that we've caught this news really early. And so we need to make sure that we are ready to trade in it. That is why we'll be live here and we'll be trading with you. And we'll be listening for that announcement. If we get into a situation where that announcement doesn't come, then I think the market will start dumping again. If we get the announcement, I think the market will actually continue to pump. And we could go to 85, 86 or 87,000 on Bitcoin. So it's a big FOMC tonight. And so even though I wasn't going to do a show today, I did the show for you guys. And we're going to have a we're going to watch the FOMC together and we're going to be trading it together. So be here with us. Have your accounts open. Have your accounts open. All right. Well, we'll talk about having accounts open. Tell Amy to put in an interesting link, maybe a Blowfin link for me, please. Thanks, sir. All right, let's go. Let's talk about the next agenda item that I have for you guys today. So we're watching FOMC, big FOMC tonight. We'll be here. We'll be trading with you guys. You guys be here. Put your hands on the trigger, finger on the trigger, and ready to fire those bullets when we need to fire those bullets. The big question, though, is even if we turn around on the FOMC tonight, can we actually change the market structure? Because when you look at the charts and you look at the market structure, this market structure isn't great. Like, you could argue that there was a double top here. You could argue that probably the next level is around the 70,000 level. You can see that right now, Bitcoin's pretty much in the middle of no man's land. And we're consolidating here. I'm not going to comment whether I think that's a bull flag or a bear flag. I'm sure Josh will tell us. Josh, bullish or bearish this structure here?
Neutral, no man's land.
It's not great. And I think what more and more people are starting to realize is that Trump is executing to a plan. And that plan, which we warned you about a few months ago, is not going to be a quick plan, unfortunately. And so right now, the market structure doesn't look very good. We need to break the market structure. Now, breaking the market structure says we get over 90, 95,000. I think if we can break over, say, this level over here, 92, 95, that's breaking this market structure. That would give us a higher high. But until then, even a little bit of bullish news in the FOMC will probably be challenged. So I'm expecting Trump, if there's a bullish FOMC, I'm expecting some kind of Trump shenanigan to start pushing the market down. Because remember, our thesis is that Trump is on a mission to keep markets down so that he can force Jerome Powell's hands to reduce interest rates, right? That's it. I think a lot of people are now starting to look at the thesis and going, look, we have to accept that maybe we're not in a bull market anymore. We did a show the other day where I said to you guys, I think we might not be in a bull market anymore. And now I see Ki Young Ju. Now, for those of you who don't know who Ki Young Ju is, he actually owns CryptoQuant. And CryptoQuant, those guys are probably the best on-chain analysts in the market, right? And he says, look, he says the Bitcoin bull cycle is over, expecting a 6 to 12 months of bearish or sideways price action. So he's starting to look at the on-chain metrics, right? And in the on-chain metrics, he's saying that he actually sees that we're in a bear market. Now, one thing he does say is he does point out that he's not, why not short BTC? He says it might take at least 6 to 12 months to break the all-time high, but I don't think we're facing another 70% crash, right? So he's saying, look, we're in a bear market in that he says it's going to take Bitcoin a long time to break the all-time high. But he doesn't think that we got another 60 to 70% down. And I think he's 100% correct here. So he's looking at the on-chain indicators. And he says, look, I've been calling for a bull market for the past 2 years, even when indicators are borderline. Sorry to change my view, but now it looks pretty clear that we're entering a bear market. He says, realized cap-based indicators show how the lack of new liquidity, massive volume around 100K failed to push the price higher, and ETF inflows have been negative for the last 3 consecutive weeks. I can't keep sharing my hopes when the data signaling bearish. I'm not going to short BTC. I'm still going to hold my spot position. So I think that this is exactly, I think the market, it's good that the market's starting to feel a bit more bearish. He says every on-chain metric signals a bear market with fresh liquidity drying up. New whales are selling Bitcoin at lower prices. And he says, okay, CryptoQuant subscribers actually would have achieved the alert. Yes. So this is he looks at all these metrics over here. He looks at the all these metrics. I'm not even going to bore you with the different metrics, but he's starting to say that maybe with the on-chain metrics, we're actually in a bear market. And I tend to agree with him that right now, I don't think we're in a bull market. I think we're in a bear market. Now, does that mean that we're going to have a 2-year bear market? No, you can have a 6-month bear market or a 12-month bear market. I think we're going to be in a bear market until Trump wants to turn the markets around again and until the Fed changes their course of action, right? They always say never bet against the Fed. And that's exactly what you need to do. Right now, the Fed's telling you, we're not going to reduce interest rates. We're not going to start quantitative easing. And so you need to bet with the Fed, not against the Fed. Right now, the Fed is telling you, do nothing. The next move of the Fed is probably cutting interest rates and quantitative easing. Now, you can choose to time that move or not choose to time that move. If you want to time that move, now's probably not a good time to be getting into the market. If you want to look at the charts for confirmation, I mean, one of the confirmations that I saw was this death cross on Bitcoin. So we are heading towards a death cross. Andre says it's coming next Wednesday. When is it coming, Andre? Soon. Now, what is a death cross? It's the 200 MA and the 50 MA crossing each other. And what you can see is that every time we've had a death cross, not every time, sometimes when we get a death cross, in this downward moving market, right, you got a 52% correction here, 61% correction here. This period over here was a very similar period to the one that we are actually in now, right? This is the death cross that was experienced in April or May or in July of the first dip in the 2021 bull market, which then after a 23% drop actually recovered and took us slightly to new all-time highs. I think we are in this kind of scenario. Now, will the dip be another 23%? I don't think so. But it's important to note that I do think that we've now emulated, or we will emulate, the structure of it. I think it's going to be very, very, very difficult to break that death cross. I mean, I hope I'm wrong, but I think I'm actually right here. So that's pretty much what I'm looking at. So as I said, I think the FOMC will give us some temporary reprieve, but be careful and watch out for the big geopolitical turmoil that's going to be created to keep interest rates, to keep markets down, because Trump can't have markets up. Let's quickly just, when we say markets, I know we've been looking at Bitcoin. Let's look at the NASDAQ. And because now, remember, everything is macro-driven. It is slightly up. You see, it's not up as much as crypto, right? So you see crypto is back at above 84,000. But NASDAQ is up a tiny bit. And I think you need to look at the NASDAQ stocks. Those are the ones that are important. So Tesla, Shopify, Tesla up 3%. I think that's good, 232. I mean, I was, you know, talking about Tesla, this is going to become a long show for no reason. Now, you see, I'm, you know why? Because I digress. I don't know if you guys saw this, but I was fucking horrified watching this. Okay. Like, I've got to show you. Like, this is going to become a long show. Sorry, Andre. I know you've got plans this afternoon. Yeah. I've got to actually show you this. I was horrified. The reason why I was horrified is this guy is, he is
saying on my phone, I don't know.
So he's a vice president elect. Okay. Now, look, I get you got political like issues and whatever else. And I get you don't really like what Elon's doing. And I don't know why you don't like what Elon's doing. You need to love what Elon's doing because he's saving America, right? This is Tim Walz. The guy was running for fucking vice president. How do you act like a child like this?
On my phone, I know some of you know this on the iPhone. They've got that little stock app. I added Tesla to it to give me a little boost during the day. 225 and dropping. So, and if you own one, we're not blaming you. You can take dental floss and pull the Tesla thing off, you know, and take out, just telling you.
I mean, can you believe it? That's a vice president. That guy could have been the vice president of the United States, and he's decided to take on a private company because the founder of the private company and probably the biggest innovator in America or in history is trying to clean up the United States' bad spending so that the budget deficit will go away. And the VP is mocking the company. I mean, my feeling is, if I were president, I'd put the guy in jail. I don't know what grounds. I would put the guy in jail. If he was working at Banta, he'd get $1,000 fine. He'd definitely get $1,000 fine, you know. At least. I mean, that's definitely a fine. I see ETH is over $2,000. Good. And Bitcoin's over 84,000. It's a green day. It's a good day. All right. Let's talk about the other thing that I wanted to talk about, right? And that is MicroStrategy. Now, you know, I'm a big fan of MicroStrategy. We've had Michael Saylor on the show. We even had him on the show the last time and he said, "Let me finish, Ron." You remember that? And then they made me a mug. Will you go get me the mug from my office? I want to show them the mug. People made me a mug. So here's the problem, right? I've been watching the latest moves that Michael Saylor's been doing, and I am concerned. I mean, I'll say this, I'm concerned. Stock price doesn't reflect it, which tells me that I'm wrong. But I want to share my concern with you anyway, right? So what's the concern? The concern is that MicroStrategy did represent 28% of the flow into Bitcoin last year. Now, you understand what that means. It means that 28% of the net flow. You see, this is the mug they made me after Michael Saylor came on. Let me finish, Ron. They put the Williams F1 car here because we were supposed to sponsor Williams this year as Crypto Banter, but we're going to do it next year. We're not doing it this year. Our sponsorship is going to kick in 2026. Let me know if you think it's a good idea. We are sponsoring him, Carlos Sainz. I mean, we're very excited about it as a business. Anyway, going back to it. So MicroStrategy represented 28% of the flow into Bitcoin last year. And what's super important to note is that yesterday, they came out with a new kind of share offering. Now, you'll recall that what MicroStrategy has done is they are fantastic financial engineers. And they engineer different products to allow them to raise money to buy Bitcoin to appeal to different markets. Probably their best product that they've created is a convertible bond. And that convertible bond allows people that invest in fixed income to earn 0%, so 0% fixed income, but to get exposure to the upside of Bitcoin. It's like a loophole in the system. Not a loophole, but it's a hack in the system. Anyway, long story short. Yesterday, they announced a new launch of a new share offering called Strife, STRF. This is slightly different. It's a perpetual contract stock offering. So it's a perpetual contract stock offering. Now, I want to show you this. This is the document. I'm not really going to look at the document. So what is it? So let's go to the beginning of this tweet. Let's go back to it. Sorry. Let's go back to that. And okay, so what is Strife? For those of you wanting a simple breakdown, this is what MicroStrategy actually announced. Strife is a Series A perpetual preferred stock with a 10% annual dividend. Here's the catch. That is paid in cash every quarter. If the dividends are not paid, they compound quarterly at 1% per year, up to a maximum of 18%. Strategy uses the proceeds from STRF to acquire the new Bitcoin. Sounds pretty simple to this point, right? When will it be available? Who cares? Redemption and buyback. Strategy can redeem Strife if less than 25% of the original shares remain or if certain tax events actually occur. Liquidation preference. Each Strife share charts with 100% liquidation, $100 liquidation. In other words, $100 is what you get back before common stockholders if the company winds down. In other words, it's called a preferential share because when you wind down, they get preference. And when there's a dividend, they get preference, right? Okay, so why does this matter? What is the problem with this? The problem lies in this table over here. So you know MicroStrategy's basically got three offerings now. You got the MSTR share. Then you got the STRK Strike, which is the preferred stock. And now you got the new one called Strife. Problem is with Strife is that it says that they pay a dividend of 10% per 100 shares, so it's 10%, annual, paid in cash. The last one was 8% annual, paid in cash or stock. This one is paid in cash. Here's the problem. Where does MicroStrategy get the cash to fund the dividend? Because we know that they're not staking their Bitcoin and getting yield on their Bitcoin. If they were, I'd say, okay, maybe they can get it. They're certainly not getting 10% a year. We also know that their software business isn't actually generating that much cash, right? So like, if you look at the software business and you look at the stats of a software business, they don't have enough money in the software business to be able to commit to paying $50 million a year, which is exactly what they're committed to doing. And so now people are starting to say, look, I mean, this is from Ivan Tech, says Sailor raises the stakes, now offering 10% interest to raise money, crazy interest rates. Either he's desperate for cash or he knows what's coming. Now, no one knows what's coming, right? There's no, and if he does know what's coming and if he's wrong, then this is a problem, right? So now the big question is, and I mean, this guy, Caleb Frazen, says, I'm not a big fan of this. This is a degree of financialization that goes over my head. This complexity, at least for me, continues to raise flags, and I'm not afraid to admit it. I hope it works, but it'll be without me. A lot of people are concerned. Someone says, by Saylor increasing his average Bitcoin, it becomes increasingly likely that he's the reason why this all blows up. So a lot of people are concerned that MicroStrategy will start taking this market down. And Ivan on Tech says, time to start praying that Saylor is not the new SBF. Or is it too early to say that? Look, I don't understand this move. I've got to be honest. But I do believe that Saylor has a plan. Because I guess that's what the tweet said. Either he's desperate or he really has a plan, right? Because how is he going to fund the $50 million a year that he needs to pay in interest payments? Now, look, there are a couple of loopholes. Like, it says that dividends are only payable if declared by the board and they can choose never to declare them. That's true as well. No legal obligations. The company is not under any legal obligation to pay the dividend. And dividends are expected to be paid only if the company raises additional capital, which it may choose not to do. So there maybe are exits here, right? So I don't know. Maybe there are exits here. Sees MicroStrategy can avoid paying 10% to 18% dividend for any reason. So maybe there's a plan here. Maybe the plan here is that they never pay the dividend and then that these pref shares actually convert. I'm sure the man has a plan. I just can't work out what the plan is. That's the problem. I'm going to try to get hold of him today. Someone says the genius of Soda is that he's not that he's buying Bitcoin, but he's actually created so many derivatives in the arbitrage that he's essentially creating infinite liquidity. Maybe right here. Lots of people worried about this in the market. I think the best place to resolve it is to actually get Sailor back, or actually just to at least give him a call. Hopefully we can resolve it. But it is something to pay attention to. The market's telling you not to worry. The market's telling you that Saylor's a man of the plan. Because if the market wasn't saying that, then MicroStrategy would have dropped. MicroStrategy hasn't dropped. So the market's telling you that Saylor is a man with a plan. We need to find out what the plan is, right? We need to find out what the plan is. All right, next thing that I want to talk to you guys about is this. The SEC finally dropped its case against Ripple. Brad Garlinghouse came out with a video today recalling the whole incident. Now, what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to torture you guys for 2 minutes. For those of you listening on 2-speed, you're going to need to learn how to listen fast or slower, because I'm going to speed this up a little bit just so that we don't have to sit here for 4 minutes.
SEC filed lawsuit against Ripple. I'm finally able to announce that this case has ended. It's over. Sitting here today and reflecting on 4 years ago, it seems very clear to me that this case was doomed from the start. In so many ways, it was the first major shot fired in the war on crypto. I truly felt like I knew then that Ripple was not only on the right side of the law, but I felt that we were also going to be proven to be on the right side of history.
It really, I think, sends an ominous sign for innovation around cryptocurrency in the United States. Picking winners in general has not been something the U.S. government should be in the business of doing. I think the judge realizes this is not just about Ripple. This will have broader implications. As Mary Jo White, the former head of the SEC, has said publicly that she views this as a dead wrong, and the SEC is dead wrong on this decision.
Ripple is the first company with the resources, determination, and grit to fight back against the agency's overreach. And today, this journey finally concludes. Today is a victory and a long overdue surrender by the SEC. The SEC, under Chairman Gary Gensler, went after the whole industry, using the same arguments they used against us. They weren't out to protect investors. They were out to intimidate and terrorize. The regulator, whose primary purpose is to protect investors, went all in on a non-fraud, victimless lawsuit and wiped out $15 billion of value from innocent XRP hoarders. The SEC was the market manipulator. The SEC wasn't seeking justice. They were seeking to win a case at any cost. Forces inside our government aligned with the SEC and embarked on a campaign of debanking anyone associated with the crypto industry. This was lawfare, a war of legal terror. Fortunately, the judge rebuked the SEC multiple times in this journey. First, for lacking a, quote, faithful allegiance to the law. The SEC was sanctioned in our case for discovery abuses, and the pattern was repeated in other crypto cases.
Well, let's just say they're trying to confuse you.
We won then on every critical legal point, proving that the digital asset XRP is not a security. That is now the law, and those wins have laid the groundwork for policymakers to adopt a set of rules for crypto that are in line with nearly a century of securities law. With today's news, the war on crypto has ended in defeat for those who turned our own government against a technology and an entire industry. I'm heartened that we have paved the way for other industry players to see the value in not backing down, and for others to use our legal playbook to fight back. We are now closing a chapter in crypto history. I think we're all stronger for our prior litigation successes and today's landmark victory. Progress is worth fighting for. We won multiple pro-crypto victories at the ballot box last year. It's time to make the U.S. the crypto capital of the world. Thankfully, we have new leadership in executive and legislative branches of our government. That leadership is actively seeking a rational and constructive way forward on crypto. Let's make the most of this. This is an incredibly promising moment. Let's come together. Let's leave the tribalism behind. Let me make it clear that my main message, what Ripple's main message today is about gratitude. It's gratitude to everyone who stood by us, to every Ripple employee, to the incredible legal team here at Ripple, led by the best chief legal officer in the business, Stu Alderodi. Gratitude certainly to the XRP family, to our customers, to our partners. Thank you. We couldn't have won this battle without all of you being behind us and working together. I truly believe we all agree there's immense opportunity with the largest economy in the world finally taking a pro-crypto and pro-innovation approach to build this technology in order to solve real-world problems for people around the planet. This was a fight Ripple never wanted, but one we knew we had to win. And today, emphatically, we have. Thank you.
All right, so the SEC dropped their case against Ripple. Ripple has finally won. The bubbles start to reflect it. Congratulations to the Ripple holders. Congratulations to Brad Garlinghouse. Yeah, I mean, still not one that I'm going to add to my portfolio, but nice to watch it. I mean, good to see that. Another one that actually bounced, which I think I'm very good at, or we called quite early, is Radium. Reason why Radium bounced is because remember that the whole argument was that Pump.Fun launched a Radium competitor, right? Well, what Radium did was they launched a Pump.Fun competitor. It's like almost like, listen, if you're going to launch a competitor, we're going to launch a competitor. And then, so now you're getting Radium actually start running. I also want to say a couple of things. So the couple of things that I think we need to cover. Number one is, I know the markets have been really, really, really tough. I know that. I'm cognizant of it because I'm in the markets, of course. Hold on, I want to actually find something here for you guys. So obviously we're in the markets, and the markets have been really, really, really tough. I think I know it, you know it. It's been tough out there. But if you're in the right places, if you're in the right groups, there are a lot of places that you can actually make money. So I think now, more important than ever, is to actually join communities. And I don't care which community you join, but go and find a community. I, of course, recommend our community, which is Frontrunners. Why? Because we have everything there. We have macro outlooks. We have birdie calls. We have charts. We have Fix My Portfolio. We have one-on-ones. But most importantly, we have been having amazing, amazing, amazing calls. And I gave a call earlier, and I'll give it to you guys now. I'm hearing that Sonic is going to be listed on some major exchange in the United States very soon. Can't tell you which one because then I'd break my bond. I also heard that Shadow, which is the DEX, is also getting a listing, but on another exchange, a different exchange. Also, I mean, I gave you guys this call, which everyone laughed at me because it was in the worst market. I said to you guys, buy SQD. It's a graph competitor. You need to be buying it. And even though the market's down a lot since then, just look at the price of SQD. So here it is over here. You know, like, this is not talk. Like, this is actually shit that's happening. Like, here it is. Here's the call. SQD, 7.7 cents. I actually told the front runner at 6.5 cents. That's doubled already in this market. Kapoor, he made a call today. Plume. I mean, the guy absolutely smashed Plume while he's on his honeymoon. So I said to you guys, look, I know it's tough out there. And I know when it's tough out there, people don't want to invest. But I think this is the time we need to invest the most, and you need to be part of the best communities. Now, as I said, look, I don't really care which communities you're a part of, whether you're part of my community, Sheldon's community, even if you're a part of Crypto Legend, Josh's community, I don't really care. But get yourself part of a community, because that is the only way that you're going to survive this. Now, today, because of these amazing calls, if you sign up to Frontrunners, I will give you a free Bitfunded special. And I'm going to also extend this again to say that if you sign up for any Bitfunded challenge today, you'll get one for free, exactly the same one as you actually took out. These offers are going to be open for 24 hours. That's it, 24 hours. Sign up for Frontrunners today, get a Bitfunded a challenge. Sign up for Bitfunded, get a Bitfunded challenge for free. Bitfunded is probably one of the best crypto businesses right now. They allow people to trade with other people's money if you're a good trader, and they're doing phenomenally well. This is your chance to trade with other people's money. Also, we'll be trading tonight. Open an account. There's a link on Blowfin below. If you are going to sign up with Blowfin, remember that you get a lot of bonuses, specifically if you're a whale. I think if we can just add the whale stuff there as well, if we could do that. Let's ask Amy to do it. Go and check out. There's going to be a link. I'll put the link in there in a second. If you are a whale or if you're a slightly bigger trader, you can actually get amazing, amazing, amazing money back. I'll see you guys again later. Later on, we're going to trade the FOMC. Let's look out for that QT announcement. See you guys later. Until then, trade well, my friends.